Presentation in this session. Dr. Dominic Ryshek is going to talk about the effects of tillage, irrigation, and thrips on cotton yield.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit from resistance of insecticide types and talk a little bit now about impacts that the insect might be having on the plant itself and what we can do in terms of plant compensation to perhaps overcome some of the injury that the plant has done. This is a slide put together by Jack Batchelor, essentially using the figures that are put forward towards the cotton insect losses year to year. And you can see that, based on our crop consultant survey each year, the cost of control for thrips is quite high, and that most of that includes the cost of the seed treatments itself, plus the cost of the $8 foliar spray. Injury that we see from thrips is from the insect piercing the leaf as it's emerging out, and often misshapen. Sometimes you won't actually see this in terms of a reduction on the plant weight itself. You know, that the plant may maintain some of the mass, but it's just not getting the adequate surface area of the leaf to produce the photosynthesis that it needs to grow properly. These data are from Dr. Philip Roberts, sitting right here in the third row, and he is one of the progenitors for the idea for this study. This was something that he had done a number of years ago, and essentially you can see that we have a graph showing the dry weight of the upper part of the plant, the shoot on the top, and then the graph on the bottom shows the weight of the root on the bottom. And you can see that with a seed treatment plus a foliar overspray, so the seed treatment being Cruiser, foliar overspray being Orthene, we have an increase of dry weight compared to when we don't have that foliar overspray or compared to when we don't have any seed treatment or overspray at all. And that's essentially a one-to-one relationship. So basically what you're seeing above ground is mirrored below ground. When your thrips are hammering the plant above the ground, you have less root mass. In addition, we can put something like tillage on top of that. So these data are from Dr. Mike Taze, and this was also done in Georgia. And basically the take home of this study was there's sort of a relationship between the amount of cover that you have and the density of thrips that you see. So basically, when you start to till and you reduce the amount of cover that you have out there, you tend to have more thrips pressure. So we know that our thrips are suppressed as tillage decreases. We know that soil moisture is influenced by that. And we know that we have this relationship in the plant above and below ground. So the question that we had was, can we compensate for this by essentially providing the plant something that it needs, which is moisture? So even though we're having this reduction of root mass, can we make it up by providing the plant, you know, moisture later on in the season? So we did this with a factorial design. Our first factor was irrigation. We had plots that were irrigated and not irrigated. We had three different types of tillage. We had conventional till, strip till, and what I'm going to call reduced till. It wasn't actually no till because the area where I did the study is essentially under conventional till all the time, so I had to plant a cover crop and then leave it there. And so I just called that reduced till because it wasn't in long-term no till. And then I just had a simple insecticide or no insecticide. And so my insecticide plots just had a base seed treatment and then a foliar overspray, and this foliar overspray was put on at the second true leaf stage. This is a picture of our cover crop, what it looked like in the winter. I wanted a heavier cover crop than this. I believe this picture was taken in about this time last year. Didn't get the rye platted until December. Redid the experiment this year. We were able to plant our rye sometime in October, so we have a much thicker stand this year. But you can see by the time that we wanted to till and plant the cotton that we essentially did have, you know, some sort of cover there. And so this is just a picture of of what our different treatments look like. We planted early on the 3rd of May. The reason that we wanted to do that was typically when we plant earlier in the planting window, it's sort of a good period where the thrips are out there, temperatures are a bit cooler, the cotton doesn't grow very well. Again, I mentioned that I put my insecticide treatment out on the second true leaf. Generally, we put our insecticide treatments out at first true leaf, but we had so much moisture this year that I was delayed putting it out until the second true leaf. And I think I even put this out right before rain, which wasn't a good idea, but it was either that or waiting for another week to get in the field. So when you look at the results, realize that my foliar overspray probably didn't perform as well as it could have. I looked at thrips abundance, injury ratings, and I'm not going to belabor the point here. It's the same thing you've been seeing all day, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and then looked at plant height and number of leaves and did that 3, 4, and 5 weeks after planting. And then 6 weeks after planting, I measured the dry weight above and below ground and just pulled the plant up when the soil was moist, didn't worry about any of the fine roots or anything like that, but cut the plant right at the soil line, and then took yield from the two middle rows. I used a general linear mix models, ANOVA, and my fixed factors were sample date, tillage type, irrigation and insecticide, and block was random. And I guess I won't talk. Oh, the other important thing is that I did a repeated measures analysis. So remember, I took those different samples at 3, 4, 5 weeks after planting. I just used a single big analysis for this. To apply the irrigation, North Carolina doesn't have a really sophisticated way to irrigate cotton. We probably irrigate less than 2% of our cotton acres. So we decided to use the University of Georgia checkbook recommendations. And you can see those on the right. That's the cotton water requirements by week, and it's based on the crop growth stage. And you can see the precipitation, and I broke it out by week on the column second from the left. And you can see that I sort of had a deficit moisture situation on the third week of July. So I put out an inch and a half of irrigation, and then I had what was looking like going to be a deficit moisture situation in the first week of August. Put out half an inch, and then it decided to rain 3 inches on me. So this really wasn't the best year to do it in irrigation study, but we put out a couple irrigations nonetheless. This is what our conventional untreated plots look like, and you can see that there was a little bit of thrips injury out there. This isn't really even normal for North Carolina. We would consider this pretty light pressure, but you can see that there were some thrips out there. You can see that it looks like we have smaller plants and maybe even a little bit more injury where we had the strip till. That's a little bit contrary to what I showed in my introduction. Remember that as we start to increase the cover that we have on the ground, we tend to decrease thrips populations. But also remember that as we start to move towards reduced tillage situations, the plants just tend to grow a little bit slower out of the ground. And you can see that a little bit here in the reduced till situation where we're decreasing the number of thrips and the plants are going a little bit slow. In terms of yield, I'm not even going to show those results. The trial just, once we got into the reproductive stages, once we got past the thrip susceptible time, it really was a wash. We had so much rain this year, the field was very poorly drained, and we just had really poor cotton as a result. And you can sort of see that in this picture here. It looks like, you know, you'd go out there and you'd think, oh, it looks like I can see a difference in that plot, but it's actually just where water was settling in the field. You remember my statistical analysis, I used repeated measures. Well, I didn't find any sort of interaction over time, which was good. But unfortunately, I did find a significant three-way interaction. That's kind of a nightmare. So remember, in my fixed factors were tillage type, irrigation, and insecticide treatment. And at this point in the season, which is 4 weeks after planting, I had not yet put on an irrigation. So it's a little bit curious why there would be a significant interaction for irrigation, right? So I'm thinking that irrigation was sort of an artifact in this study. So my irrigation was drip tape. The drip tape was really apparent in the field. In fact, we had to redo all the drip tape because when the cotton was small, we had a bunch of bald eagles come in and destroy all the drip tape. So it was really visible out there in the field, really apparent. Maybe it was some sort of mulch effect that repelled thrips. I don't know. I couldn't really pull out any trends here. This graph shows the total adult and larval thrips per five plants. These numbers aren't incredibly high, but you can see that we did have lower insect density where we had no irrigation and treated. Sort of makes sense, but we didn't see the same thing where we did have irrigation and treated. So something going on there with the drip tape. I'm just not sure what it is, but I think in general we had fewer thrips where we treated with insecticide, which shouldn't be surprising. This is a similar graph, shows plant height. Again, we had a three-way interaction. Really not sure, again, what's going on there. Really shouldn't see anything, I don't think, with irrigation at this point, but we did. But I think that we did have a trend that we saw taller plants where we tilled and then where we treated with insecticide. So that kind of makes sense to me there. And then finally, when we looked at below ground biomass, you remember we went in, we pulled up plants, and we just cut them at the soil line. We saw about a doubling in the below ground biomass where we treated with insecticide versus where we didn't treat. So this sort of matches almost exactly what they saw in Georgia. What goes on above the ground, you sort of see below ground as well. Tillage type did not consistently influence our thrips density in 2013. We had plants that were taller where we tilled using conventional tillage, and our below ground biomass was significantly influenced by the insecticide regime. Again, want to emphasize these results are very preliminary. This was a pretty bad year to do an irrigation study. You can see some, I think it's Rhizoctonia or something that I had in my trial just because it was so wet, and conditions at harvest were pretty muddy. So maybe next year we'll have a normal year or something. With that, I guess I have 3 minutes for questions if anybody has any. The question was with the reduced till, when did I burn down the rye? So setting up the experiment, the rye was planted in a solid block for the entire experiment, and about 3 weeks before planting, we went in and burned down the rye because we wanted to burn it down early to make sure that there weren't any thrips or anything else in the rye and that was all gone by the time we went in there and planted. So we went in, burned it 3 weeks down, and then we did our tillage almost like right before we planted. So it was about 3 weeks before planting. All right, appreciate your attention. Want to thank Cotton Incorporated for funding this work. This was a small part of a large project of similar studies done across the Southeast, and definitely thank Cotton Incorporated for their funding.
Thank you, Dominic.